Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. In 1873, President Grant sent Peter C. Shannon as the new Chief Justice of the Dakota Territory Supreme Court. A new book looks at how Shannon brought the rule of law to a rough and tumble territory. It's called Outlaw Dakota, The Murderous Times and Criminal Trials of Frontier Judge Peter C. Shannon. The author is Wayne Fanabust. He is with us now, calling from Sioux Falls. Wayne, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell me, 1873, what sort of world does Peter C. Shannon walk into?
Well, he walks into a world dominated by, what at least the legal system was inept, it was incompetent, it was dominated by judges who had very little experience as a judge, lawyers who were not all that qualified, and plus he was in the middle of sort of a hot political cauldron in Dakota Territory, and he quickly restored a sense of order and brought some judicial integrity into a rather corrupt system.
Can you tell us how he did that? What were some of the fundamentals to his integrity and his character?
What was that?
Can you tell us some ways how he did that, with what was fundamental to his integrity and to his character?
Well, first of all, he was from Pennsylvania, and he had a good education. He was sort of an up-and-coming political figure in Pennsylvania at the time. He was a lawyer, and he had actually served a term as a judge in western Pennsylvania. And he knew, he was well acquainted with the leading political figures of his day. For example, he knew Abraham Lincoln, he knew Edwin Stanton, and so when he got here, he had the intellect and the background to do a good job as a judge.
Can you tell us about some of his high profile cases, maybe?
Well, the one that everyone will probably identify with is the trial of Jack McCall for the murder of Wild Bill Hickok. That trial got national attention, actually, because Hickok, of course, he was sort of a gunslinging celebrity, having acquired a reputation as a gunfighter in Kansas and other parts of the country. And because he had actually been a sort of a star with the Buffalo Bill Wild West show, so he was well known at the time. And this frontier character Jack McCall from Kentucky, who was sort of the ultimate ne'er-do-well, a loser, someone called him more of a dance hall dude than a tough character. So he was sort of. They were polar opposites, you might say. But the case gave Shannon the platform to hand down one of the most noteworthy death penalties in American judicial history.
What drew you to him as a character, as someone that you wanted to do this amount of research and spend this amount of time with as an author?
Well, years ago, see, I'm a lawyer. I'm retired now, but years ago, I had a law practice in San Diego, California, and I was doing research on another project, a book I was writing about a biography of Senator R.F. Pettigrew, and I kept coming across these newspaper articles that were about Peter Shannon or referenced him in some way. So I thought, well, here, this guy is had a significant role in Dakota Territory history. So I decided that at some point in time, I would write a book that combined my knowledge of the law with my interest in the history of the American West, particularly as it applied to Dakota Territory. So I always kept in mind Judge Shannon and his trials.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Dakota Midday. Our guest is Wayne Fanabust. He's the author of the new book, Outlaw Dakota, The Murderous Times and Criminal Trials of Frontier Judge Peter C. Shannon. Wayne, I'm wondering what kind of legacy Judge Shannon leaves behind for him, for us to sort of examine today.
Well, his legacy as a judge is very solid, very significant. And the only stumbling block that he had as far as his career, he was basically a man of integrity. He believed in the rule of law, except that when he was a part of the 1882 Indian Commission that was tasked to break up the Great Sioux Reservation, he and the fellow commissioners really fell flat in a public sort of a way because of the way they conducted themselves. Here was a man who was a stickler for the rule of law, and yet he was willing to ignore the law when it comes to a particular treaty.
Tell me more about that. What sort of specific implications did that have?
Well, what it was about was that the existing treaty that was struck in 1868 said that in order for the government to modify that treaty or to make other treaties with the Lakota, they had to get the written consent of 3/4 of the male population. Now, that was ignored when the Black Hills were taken, and that's set a precedent, so they thought, well, we cheated them in 1877, we can do the same thing in 1882. So that was really a stumbling block. Of course, that treaty, the 1882 treaty, did fail.
So if that's so inconsistent with his character and who he was before then, what happened there? What was the blip?
Well, first of all, I guess in the frontier times, when you're dealing with horse thieves or the like, it's easier to apply the law. But when you're dealing with Native Americans, then you've got another group of very unpopular people at that time. So, you know, there was always this unfairness that went through the relationship between Native Americans and white people of the frontier. So it shouldn't strike anybody as really unusual, and it didn't seem to bother their conscience to avoid the law the way they did.
You mentioned a political cauldron. Can you tell me more about some of the pushback he got from people in politics?
Oh, yeah. Actually, in 1873, the Dakota was sort of divided political situation. The Republican Party was divided between two groups that they were called gangs, and then both of them had their headquarters in Yankton. One gang was the Capitol Street gang, and their headquarters was on Capitol Street in Yankton. The other was the Broadway Street gang, and they had their headquarters on Broadway Street in Yankton. And the two clashed for about 4 or 5 years, so much so that the unthinkable happened. A Democrat actually was elected as a delegate to Congress to represent the territory, when the Republicans as a whole vastly outnumbered the Democrats in the territory.
Wayne Fanabust is our guest, the author of Outlaw Dakota, The Murderous Times and Criminal Trials of Frontier Judge Peter C. Shannon. He's signing copies of the book tomorrow at Zambro's Variety from 2 to 4 p.m. That's Friday. Wayne, I want to say thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.